For more great content, make sure you follow 717 Sports Media on all your podcast listening platforms. Also follow us on social media, on Twitter at 717_sports, Facebook and Instagram at 717 Sports Media. We're also checking on our website daily for your daily news and sports videos at 717sportsmedia.com.
In here with 717 Sports and LankLebBase.com. I'm here to talk sort of about some baseball since it's coming up really quick now. It's starting on Monday. Looking to talk about some alumni people and then talk about each team in the league. Maybe we'll get to every team in the league today. We will see. But wanted to get on here to talk about some alumni, some teams that I think could really make an impact this coming spring. So we will start with the alumni, some people who are doing really well in college. I clipped the first two together for a reason that I'll say a little bit later. It's kind of funny. The first one is Amani Jones. He is Millersville's starting shortstop. I think it's kind of cool that I put together two people who are both playing for Millersville, who is still right in Lancaster. So they graduated from college, and now they're playing for the Marauders over there. And Coach Sheehan, he always has some really good stuff. They're a top 10 ranked D2 team. First guy was Amani Jones. He's the shortstop. He is a senior this year. He transferred in from Stevenson, graduated from Cedar Crest. So far this season on Millersville's website, he has started all 19 games for Millersville. 338 batting average and 858 slugging. And he is second on the team in doubles. And then the guy who he's behind went to Warwick. And most of you know him from Warwick's state championship team in 2022. They also won the district title, Matthew Williams. He is a sophomore. He is arguably one of, if not Millersville's best hitter. He's started all 19 games, and that number is probably actually bumped up now because Millersville is playing a PSAC game. They played yesterday, and then they're playing either today or tomorrow, but whatever. He's tied for the team lead in batting average. He leads the team in OPS with a 1.266 OPS, 4 homers for the Marauders, and he leads the team in doubles. So that is two who went from LL teams and they came right down the road to Millersville. I just thought that was kind of cool. They're both doing great for Coach Sheehan. Some other guys that I wanted to shout out, some township grads here. First off, Ben Shinosky, who is pitching at Wake Forest. He was on Manheim Township's 2022 team who won the league title. For Wake Forest, he has one save and one start. He has pitched 10 innings with a .9 ERA. He struck out 14. He was a very good pitcher for Township and Coach Kirchhoff. And the other guy that I wanted to shout out was also a very good pitcher for Coach Kirchhoff, was JT Weaver. He is a sophomore also for the Shippensburg Midshipmen. He on the mound, 3 starts and 4 appearances. He is second on the team with 20 strikeouts and an opponent batting average of .275. Another guy I'll give a quick shout to. This is all we'll do for this week. Maybe in future weeks I'll talk about some more alumni people. Another guy that I wanted to give a quick shout to is Cade Connolly. He is a freshman. He went to Manheim Central. He is playing for Washington College. 2.7 ERA in 5 relief appearances. 5 strikeouts in 6.2 innings. So I just think that it's really cool to see anybody really go right from high school up to the next level, college, you know, pitching, hitting. There's a few other guys who I can think of, but I'll maybe say them next week. But we can get to teams. We'll start in section 1 with all the teams. kind of what I see for them, what I could see happening for them, and then we'll go to section two, section three, section four. I'll talk about some games that catch my eye in the first week of meaningful non-league games, but on the first day there is a league game, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. So I will start in section one with the defending section one champions, which was Hempfield. They went 13-2 in section one and 17-6 overall, including the fourth seed in District 3, which earned them a bye in the first round of districts. They had a really good regular season and a really good summer. They won the Summer League Championship at Clipper Magazine. It was really good to watch. Some players that I have coming back for them are Logan Harrelson, who is committed to the University of Southern Florida. Josh Toole, who is a catcher, he's committed to Coastal Carolina. And then Drew Benchick was another guy. You'll see him a lot more on the mound this year, I would imagine. Really strong dude. Was a really good hitter for Hempfield last year. And all three of those guys are really coming into their own all around the ball, offensively and defensively. They're all great players, and they'll play great in college. Another team that I wanted to give a shout to was Manheim Township. Last year, they went 9-6 in Section 1 and 14-11 overall. And what was really nice to watch about Township last year was how they played in the postseason. Kirchhoff really knows how to win when it really matters. Some of their bigger wins in the playoffs were they beat Red Lion 4-3. They upset Ephrata, who just won the league title. I think they won the league title on Monday. And then Manheim Township went to Ephrata and War Memorial Field, and Township beat them. That was a really big win. Ephrata's season just sort of ended really abruptly. Some players that I have coming back for them are Braden Lead. You'll hear him a lot on the mound. He's a junior. Jacob Carrasco is another name I'd imagine. He actually, a few days ago, got signed by the Chicago White Sox out of the, I'm not sure what it's called, but I saw it on social media. Got signed by the White Sox through their youth slash high school. I'm not sure what it's called, but I'm pretty sure he'll be playing for Township this coming spring, and we'll see about maybe next year and whatnot, but he's another guy that I expect to hear a lot for the Blue Streaks over there. And then a final guy was Trey Ekman. And then next, I'll go to Cedar Crest, the Falcons up in Lebanon. Last year, 6-9 in Section 1 and 8-12 overall. They were 6-4 on the road and 2-8 at home, so maybe they'll schedule more away games. I don't know. Some of their bigger wins in the high school season were wins over Penn Manor and Warwick, who are two pretty set teams, two pretty well-rounded programs. They had a really good summer, Cedar Crest did. They made it to, I'm pretty sure, the league semifinals. But yeah, they just had a really good summer in total. Some players for them that I'll expect to hear a lot from are Logan Oriole, Caleb Dorsheimer, Dayton DiBiaso, and Dylan Fegley, who came over from Northern Lebanon to Cedar Crest. So he's another addition that will be very good for the Falcons. I think that they'll make a lot of noise in Section 1. Another team that I think will turn some heads maybe is the Penn Manor Comets down in Millersville. Last year they went 12-9 overall and 8-7 in Section 1. They had a really good summer too. The big thing that I put for them for their bigger wins was the season series win over Warwick. They beat them 2-1, and that shuffled the cards a lot for who's going to take the second place in Section 1. Was really interesting to watch. They also walked off Hempfield one time and beat them. And if they would have won the last time that they played, that Hempfield and Penn Manor played, I'm pretty sure that Penn Manor would have made leagues. Would have been really interesting to see the Comets in there. But they didn't, but that's okay. I feel like they will be a tough team to beat, a tough team to get to the playoffs over. Some players that I think will definitely have a say in that are Bryce Avery, who is verbally committed to Millersville, Braden Eckert is a name I expect to hear a lot on the pitching side. And then Cole Zink was another name I wanted to shout out for Penn Manor. Next is McCaskey. They went 3-17 overall and then didn't have a win in section one. Their three wins, they beat Susquehanna Township 8-2. They beat Reading 6-5 in 8 innings. And on the last game of the year, they beat Catholic 8-3. So sort of that crosstown, I don't know if you want to say rivalry, but it feels good to win your last high school game and end the season with a win, even maybe if it wasn't the best. Some players that I think will help McCaskey to maybe grab a few more wins are Adrian Rodriguez, Toby Kuntz, and Elliot Fluck. They're all very skilled players, and I expect to hear their names a lot in their wins. I hope that they get more wins and can build on it and make McCaskey a really strong baseball team and make Section 1 even stronger. And then the last team I wanted to give a shout to in Section 1 are the Warwick Warriors. Last year, they went 13-12 overall and 9-6 in Section 1. The big thing with them last year is they swept Manheim Township, which, like Penn Manor beating Warwick, Warwick sweeping Manheim Township was a big piece of making league playoffs because Warwick was the second team in Section 1 to make the league playoffs. But then they lost to Lancaster Catholic, but that's a story for another day. They also made states in 5A after beating Exeter 2-1 in the District 3 playoffs in 8 innings. I heard that that was a really tight game. I mean, it obviously was if they had to go to extra innings. But Coach Weissmandel, too, he knows how to win when it really matters. And so Warwick, since literally all the pieces of the 2022 state championship team are gone, sort of the turn of a new leaf, if you will. So some players that I have that I think will definitely help out with that are Sawyer Martin, who's committed to the University of E-Town over here to play for the Blue Jays. CJ Eastler was another guy that I expected to hear a lot on the name or on the pitching side. And then Caleb Johnson was another guy. He really good basketball player, but he was also a very good catcher. So that is my wrap on section one, and we'll get to section two now. So section two, very, very competitive last year. It was Ephrata who won section two, and then LS made it second, and then they actually came back together and played in the championship. So I'll start with Ephrata. They won section two with a 12-3 record in section two. They went 19-5 overall. They also won the league title over LS. It was a really good game. They won 9 straight games en route to the league championship, which was very impressive. They were playing their best baseball at the end, and that's what really matters. That's what will get you a league title in baseball. I put down they won the season series against every team except LS, who they then beat in championship. I thought that was kind of a funny little stat that LS held 2 of the 3 wins over them in the regular season, but Ephrata won it when it mattered. Ephrata had a really good summer too. They were runner up in the summer league to Hemphill. Some names that I expect to hear a lot are Cam Sims. I'm really not sure how you say it. He was really good for the Mounts on the mound last year. You didn't expect him because he was a freshman, and he just sort of took the league by storm, really. Another name that I expect to hear a lot is Brendan Kapczynski, first baseman, and I think he pitches a little bit too. And then Ethan Golo was the final guy. He was their catcher since Coy Schwanger was battling some injuries, but Coy Schwanger still played great, but just didn't catch. And Ethan Golo did a very good job of stepping in there and playing. And then the second team in Section 2 that was the runner-up was the LS Pioneers. They were 17-9 overall, and they were 11-4 in Section 2. They, like I said, they were the runner-up in the league playoffs, finals, and they won a district game. And their two wins in the playoffs, really, were very impressive wins. They beat Mannheim Central twice in the whole season, including they had to go to Mannheim Central, who won Section 3, and they beat them. It was a really good game, I heard. And then they had to beat Hemfield in the semifinals, and that was a heartbreaking loss. I went to Hemfield. I covered the Hemfield baseball team a lot. And yeah, that loss really stunk. Came down to the last pitch, but it was great. It was a thrilling victory and a heartbreaking defeat, but sometimes that's just sports. Another win that I have for LS is that they beat Central York in the regular season over there in York. Central York is probably one of the better, well-run programs. So to win that game, very impressive. I'm pretty sure LS plays them again this year, so we'll see what they can do. Some players that I have for them are Caden C., Anthony Turek, and Logan Lehman. Logan Lehman was actually the one who made the catch on the warning track against Hemfield to preserve the victory, because if he dropped it, Hemfield more than likely would have won that game. But, you know, he made the catch. He'll be another good piece for them. And then the third team that I think will really, really, really make some noise in Section 2 and could honestly win Section 2 is the Elizabethtown Bears. 13-8 overall last year and 9-6 in Section 2. They were right on the cusp of making the league playoffs. Section 2 was an awesome section to watch last year between these three teams. Effort and LS got it, but it's really fun to see three teams fighting for two spots, and sometimes that's what makes baseball and sports in general so great. Certain teams want to really are pushing to make the playoffs, and some just can't. And it's really fun to watch. Some of their impressive wins I wrote down were over Mechanicsburg, and they also beat Donegal, and they won the season series over LS. So it was very impressive to watch them. Sometimes their pitching, I feel like, is definitely their stronger suit for this coming year, and it was last year. Some people that'll help out with that on the mound are Isaiah Shader, who is actually committed to Penn State, Maine. He'll be a good arm for Penn State. Hopefully he pitches a lot. We're rooting for him. Caden Kimball was another guy too. Very good. And then Luis Perez Alfaro too. All those guys will be helping out E-Town a lot. So then some other teams in Section 2 are the Selangor Mules way down there in South Lancaster. Last year they had 9 wins and 11 losses, and they went 7-8 in Section 2. Their big wins that I wrote down were over Mannheim Township. They beat Elizabethtown twice, and they beat LS once. So they definitely got a taste of beating some real playoff teams, but couldn't put enough together to make leagues, rooting for the Mules, rooting for all these teams to really make the playoffs, make their district playoffs, and beyond. Some other teams in Section 2 were the CV Buckskins, 6-14 overall last year and 4-11 in Section 2. Some of their bigger wins were over Garden Spot, 6-5, Octorara, and Elizabethtown once. So just like Solanco, they sort of have some wins against some better programs, some wins that they felt really good about. And then the last team in Section 2 was Lebanon last year. They went 3-17 overall and 2-13 in Section 2. Their wins were over Anvil, Cleona, and Solanco twice. Really hope that the Cedars can be competitive in Section 2. I really want to see them represent the Lebanon part of the LL League. But yeah, that's about what I got for Section 2. And then we'll move on to Section 3. Section 3, I will again start with the defending champs for Section 3 last year, and that was the Mannheim Central Barons. They went 14-8 overall and 12-3 in Section 3, and that gave them enough wins to win Section 3. And it wasn't even close, really. Well, it was between Donegal and Mannheim Central, but everybody else, I'm saying, whatever. So their season started and ended with Muhlenberg. Kind of funny. They beat Muhlenberg to start the year and then lost 10-0 to Muhlenberg to end the year. So it was kind of an abrupt ending for them. They won Section 3, but then they lost in the first round of the league playoffs to LS, and then they lost pretty abruptly to Muhlenberg, but they're not going to hang their heads over it, but they'll be fine. Some players that I have coming back for them that will make a splash, make an impact are Nolan Book, Kai Watson, and Chase Travis. I also put down that they won every season series in Section 3 except Cocalico. So, very dominant in Section 3. I think they'll be right there, if not second, to make league playoffs. I think Section 3 will be a little bit more wide open this coming year, but we'll see. And then the team that I expect to really turn some heads in Section 3 is the Donegal Indians. Last year they went 13-9 overall and 10-5 in Section 3. They lost first round of leagues to Ephrata. They got run ruled, but sometimes it's just about maybe some building blocks and making league playoffs over, the Cocalicos and the Octoreras and the Garden Spots. Then they lost to Mechanicsburg in the first round of the district playoffs. But I think really that Donegal will again really be a head-turning team this coming spring. It'll be interesting to see how they play their cards, and I think that it'll be interesting to see how they play. Some players that I have coming back for them are Brock Hamaker, Landon Sexton, and Sawyer Floyd. I'm pretty sure Brock Hamaker is committed to Bloomsburg to play. Not sure about the other two off the top of my head, but I think that Donegal will have a very complete nine to be very competitive and have a really good shot to win Section 3. Another team that I think will be chomping at the bit, if you will, to make league playoffs and maybe beyond, we'll see, is the Garden Spot Spartans. Last year they went 9-10 overall, so they were just a smidge under 500, and they were also a smidge under 500 in Section 3, going 7-8. But their big wins, their big sectional wins, where they took 2 of 3 from Cocalico and Octorara, and then they swept Elko. They had sort of a tough time beating the Donegals and the Centrals, but they're right there. I wrote down that they only had 4 seniors who graduated, so they have a lot coming back, a lot of talent coming back. So it'll be interesting to see Section 3. Maybe it's a three-headed race. Maybe it's a four-headed race. Maybe every single team will be very competitive in it. We will see. Another team is the Cocalico Eagles. Last year, they went 9 wins and 11 losses. They were 7-8 in Section 3. They beat Donegal twice and Central once. So they are right on the cusp of beating those playoff-bound teams. And I think I have no reason to believe that they'll fall back and fall off. They also ended the season with a really good win. They beat Manheim Township to end the year. Some players for them are Trent Dixon and Braden Burkholder for the Eagles. I think that it'll be another interesting race in Section 3, and I think the Cocalico will have a lot to do with it. Another team was Octoraro, way over there in just about Chester County. They finished 8-12 overall and 6-9 in Section 3. I wrote down that both on the road and at home, there were 4 wins and 6 losses. If anything, they're consistent. One of their bigger wins was they beat the LS Pioneers early in the year last year, 3-0. And they owned at least one section win over every single team in Section 3 except Donegal. Donegal swept them every time. But, to beat the Centrals and to beat the Garden Spots and the Cocalicos, I think that's impressive. Again, building blocks for maybe a more impressive Section 3 this coming year. And then the last team in Section 3 was Elko. They went 6-14 overall and 3-12 in Section 3. They too owned at least one section win over every single team except Donegal. So another cool little stat. And their only other big win is over Anvil Cleona in their first game. And Anvil Cleona I'll talk about in a second. And we are now moving on to Section 4. So in Section 4, Lancaster Catholic was the dominant team in section four. They went 17-4 overall and 15-0 in section four, including obviously section four champs. It's hard to beat a team that didn't lose in section four. Their average run differential in their section games was 8.6 runs. Very impressive by the Crusaders. Their then playoff resume was a little bit bleak as they lost to Ephrata in the semifinals 6-4, and then they lost to Anvil Cleona 5-3 in their first game in the district playoffs. And I find that really interesting, that last one, because Anvil Cleona is in section four. And so, Lancaster Catholic beat them three times in the regular season, but then when playoffs came around, Anvil Cleona just turned it on, I guess. The playoffs are a different beast, as basically everybody knows. And I just thought that was really good feeling for Anvil Cleona, sort of a bitter taste in the mouth for Lancaster Catholic. But again, they're not gonna sulk over it and cry over it. It was a rough end, but we'll see what Catholic can do coming back this year. Some players that I have that are coming back for them are Drew Walker and Ty George, and then Liam Ahern was the name I expected to hear a pretty good amount on the pitching side. He is hurt right now, as far as I know, but I think all three of them will be good. We'll see what Catholic can do in section four. And a team that I feel that will have a lot to say in section four is the Northern Lebanon Vikings. Last year, they went 17-9 overall and 10-5 in section four. They were the second team in section four. And in saying that, they made league playoffs, but then they got run ruled by Hemfield in the first round. But I just thought that was really impressive and fun for the Vikings to get their feet wet in playoff atmospheres. Pretty sure they had some gutsy district wins, if I remember right, last year. So they're battle tested. They know what it's like to win. And I'd expect them to be really not dominant in section four, but very at the brim of being dominant. Some players that I think will really help that are Moises Gonzalez. I hope I'm saying that right. Xander McQuaid was another guy. And then Riley Messinger was another guy for Northern Lebanon who I think will be very impressive. Even after losing Dylan Fegley, like I said earlier, I still think that the Vikings will be very tough to beat in Section 4. It'll be fun to watch sort of those two teams and the rest of the teams in Section 4 see how they play, see what happens. Another team that, well, the team that finished third last year in Section 4 was Pequot Valley. They finished 12-9 overall and 9-6 in Section 4. Some of their bigger wins were over Northern Lebanon 5-4. They beat Olli Valley in the Berks League 4-0. And then they beat Anvil Cleona 5-1. And what I found so interesting about Section 4 was Catholic was going to win it, right? They won Section 4. But then that second spot was so tightly knit. It was like, oh, Pequot Valley holds a win over Anvil Cleona, but Northern Lebanon beat Pequot Valley 2 out of 3. So it was this really fun, and I think it actually came down to the last game of section play where, like, oh, if Northern Lebanon loses, then this team makes it. And it was really fun to watch. Northern Lebanon made it, though. Pequot Valley didn't, but they were right on the edge of making it. And I have no reason to believe, again, that they'll fall off and not be really close to making league playoffs. And another team that I feel is in that almost exact same boat is Anvil Cleona. They went 12-10 overall and 8-7 in section four. Their bigger wins were over Northern Lebanon 1-0 and Pequot Valley 5-1. And like I said earlier, they beat Lancaster Catholic in the district playoffs 5-3. I just thought that was pretty impressive, beating the team that you didn't think you could beat in the regular season, but then you beat them when it really matters. That must have felt really good for Anvil Cleona up there. I think that they will be another competitive team in Section 4, tough to beat. And then the last two teams in Section 4 I wanted to give a little shout to was Columbia and Lancaster Mennonite. They combined for a total of 4 wins, and 3 of those 4 wins were against Lancaster Mennonite for Columbia. So, I want to see them grow. I want to see stepping stones set for the next years and years to come, really, for these two squads. And then Lancaster Mennonite, they went 1-19 overall last year and obviously didn't get a win in section four. And their only win was against Antietam on the last day, and they won 8-6. So again, some stepping stones, some good pieces for Mennonite, and hopefully they grow on it, they build on it, and make a good team for, again, years to come. I want to see all teams in section four, and all the sections really, for that matter, really competitive coming down to the last game, because that's what's so awesome about sports. It's pressuring teams to win in order to kick this team out, or this or that. But yeah, that basically wraps up the section by section part of what I know, what I expect to see happen. And now I'll talk about some games in the first week, because the season starts Monday the 18th, and it actually kicks off on Monday the 18th with a Section 4 game. It's Anvil Cleona at Lancaster Mennonite. That one catches my eye the most because, I don't know, it feels different to have a section game as your first game. It's kind of a rush. It's sort of a surprise, I guess. But I don't know why they're doing that for the first game, but they're doing it. So that is more than likely where I'll be on Monday. And then on Tuesday, the only game on the schedule as of now is Central York is at Warwick. Central York, well, both of these teams are very well-versed, very good baseball programs. So I think that will be a good test for both sides in a way, really. On Wednesday, the 20th, Garden Spot versus CV. It's sort of a Section 3 team versus Section 2 team. I know that there's some games scheduled within the league, like a Section 3 team taking on a Section 1 team, a Section 2 team taking on, whatever. And this is one of them. And it just always catches my eye to see how well battle tested you can be before games in your own section start. So Garden Spot from Section 3 versus CV from Section 2. It'll be interesting to see how those two play against each other. And then on Thursday, Cedar Crest at Central York. So Central York is definitely getting their taste of LL teams. They're getting two Section 1 teams back to back, basically. Cedar Crest travels to Central York. I think that will be a really good game, really close game, to be honest. So we will see how both of those teams sort of try and win, try and battle. And then on Friday, the big game that catches my eye really is Mechanicsburg at E-Town. Two 5A schools going at it. Very E-Town, like I said, their pitching is probably their stronger suit. Mechanicsburg, pretty sure they have a guy committed to Duke University. If he didn't already go, I'm not sure. I kind of forget. But it'll be interesting to see, both of these teams shaking dust off. Both have some pretty high expectations, so it'll be really fun to watch there. And then on Saturday, that closes out the week. The big game for me is Governor Mifflin at Hemfield. I think that Hemfield, I mean, Hemfield played that game last year, and I'm pretty sure we scheduled them years. I say we because I went to Hemfield. Scheduled them for years before. It's always been a good game. I know Governor Mifflin won last year, and I'm pretty sure maybe they won the year before that. But I think that Hemfield is very skilled in how they'll play and how they will try and fight against another good team from really the Berks County in Governor Mifflin. Governor Mifflin definitely has some really, really good hitters, and they have some good arms too. So it'll be interesting to see on Saturday how that game goes. And that just about does my little podcast talk, baseball talk. I'm planning to do this every weekend, talk about some games from the last week, and then look ahead to the next week. You guys can follow me on Twitter and check out the websites. The website is lanklabbase.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at ColinRich40. Don't forget to follow 717 Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram too. Check out these posts from there, and then you can watch them on Spotify, and I'm pretty sure that's where they go. But yeah, that's sort of talking about baseball and what I expect from every team. We talked about some alumni people and then talked about some games that really catch my eye. So that's about it. I will hopefully do this again next weekend. And, you know, I want to bring baseball to the league. People see it. I can talk about it. People can ask me questions about it. That's what I want. But yeah, don't forget to check out my website and check out the standings page and the scores page. We're planning on doing scores of games and standings for each section. And it's accurate. We're going to make sure it's really accurate. So yeah, that's about it, guys. Thank you for listening to this or watching it. And I will hopefully see you next weekend.
For more great content, make sure you follow 717 Sports Media on all your podcast listening platforms. Also follow us on social media on Twitter at 717 underscore sports, Facebook and Instagram at 717 Sports Media. We're also checking on our website daily for your daily news and sports videos at 717sportsmedia.com.